Please rise. Who gives this woman to this man?
Her mother and I.
Sheldon, you may receive your bride. Turn and face the congregation, and on behalf of Emma and Sheldon, welcome to all of you for this very special occasion of their wedding. Let's begin with singing from the words you find in your program, the two verses there that are listed for the hymn, In Christ Alone. We'll sing two verses of In Christ Alone. Let us pray together. Good doing and gracious God in heaven, we come before you in the afternoon of this very special day. It's a beautiful day, and it's a special day because it's the wedding day of Emma and Sheldon. We thank you, Lord, for this day and all that it represents. We thank you for this couple. For them individually, you have created them and you have blessed them in their homes, in their families, with their upbringing. And Lord, they have grown and they've become adults, and by your grace also they have confessed to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and to want to follow him. And in addition to all of that, you have also given them to find each other and to love each other, and even now to commit themselves together for the rest of their lives. Lord God, we praise you for this, for them, and we pray that you will grant them a blessed married life together. Help them as they will pledge themselves, and may they be given grace to be faithful to that all the days that they live. We pray too, Lord, that you will bless this whole time we spend in the sanctuary this afternoon. Also, when we hear your word and when it is proclaimed to us, we pray that your Holy Spirit may feed our souls with the bread of life, with the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for everyone who is assembled here, family, friends, also from far. We praise you, Lord, for bringing everyone safely here. Remember those who may be listening in, those who would love to be here and for one reason or another are not. We pray, Lord, that you also remember us in our needs. We can be at a wedding, a time of joy, and we can also have many struggles. And we pray, Lord, for your care for us and for your provision for us through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And may all things be to the glory of your name. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, we are gathered here as congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ and with family and friends to witness the confirmation of the marriage of Emma Beakey and Sheldon Andrew Campice. It is good that marriage be confirmed in such a gathering and that God's blessing be asked to rest on it. The Lord God reveals to us in his word that he has created man and woman and destined them for each other, giving them the gift and calling of marriage and promising his blessing upon it. Scripture teaches us that God, our Father, who created heaven and earth and all that is therein, created man in his image, male and female, he created them. He also said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And God blessed them, and God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." But this excellent gift of God has been blemished by man's fall into sin. And yet God, who is great in mercy, has been pleased to restore the unity of marriage and to confirm his blessing. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ has honored marriage as an institution of his heavenly Father by his presence and miracles at the marriage at Cana. He also condemned the breaking of the marriage bond when he said, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." In the apostolic teaching of the New Testament, marriage is recognized as a gift of God, sanctified through the Word of God and through prayer. The Apostle calls the unity in marriage a great mystery, which he relates to the unity between Christ and his church. For these reasons, the married state ought not to be lightly or thoughtlessly entered into, but with reverence and thankfulness and in the fear of the Lord. The bond of marriage for all of life may thus be a matter of joy, in which man and wife receive love and faithfulness from each other, assistance and dedication. Because of sin, married people also experience much trouble and affliction. Nevertheless, you may, as he has promised, be assured of the grace and help of the Lord. And that you, Emma and Sheldon, in your marriage may live according to the commandments of God, and trusting in his promises, you ought to know for what reasons God has instituted marriage. In the first place, marriage is instituted in order that man and wife, joined together in true love, may belong to each other in joy, and may faithfully help each other in all things which belong to earthly and eternal life. In the second place, through marriage, the human race and also the church of the Lord are built. If it pleases God to give you children, you are to raise them and guide them in the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Further, let every man live with his wife, and that every woman live with her husband in accordance with the will of God and with a clear conscience, so that our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit be not defiled. Next, you are to hear from the Word of God how you are to behave towards each other in the married state. The man, Sheldon, as husband, has been appointed by God to be the head of his wife, and he must love his wife as Christ loves his church. You must lead and comfort your wife, you must serve her and protect her, even as Christ is the consolation and assistance to his church. Emma's wife, you are to be subject to your husband, even as the church is subject to Christ. You are to love and serve Sheldon, follow him, care for the family with him, and display the adornment of a meek and quiet spirit. According to the commandment of God, you shall both do your work with faithfulness and dedication. You shall also understand that your family is part of a larger community and that you have a calling with respect to church and society. Live in the fear of the Lord. Remember that you are heirs of the grace of life. Be forgiving and live together in wisdom, that your prayers be not hindered. So then, Emma and Sheldon, having understood that God has instituted marriage and what he commands you therein, do you declare before God and his holy church that it is your sincere intention to live in this holy state after this manner? And do you desire that your marriage be now solemnized? What is your answer, Sheldon and Emma? The Lord God confirm your intention and desire which he has given you, and may the beginning of your marriage be in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so at this time we will have you exchange your vows. I'd ask you to turn and face each other.
I, Sheldon Andrew Campice, solemnly declare before God and this is Holy Church that I take to myself and acknowledge as my wife Emma Beakey here present. I promise that I will, with the gracious help of God, love, honor, and maintain you, and live with you in the holy bonds of marriage according to God's ordinance. I promise to be your husband, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, and I promise never to forsake you from this day forward and until death do us part.
I, Emma Beakey, do solemnly declare before God, and this is Holy Church, that I take to myself and acknowledge as my husband Sheldon Andrew Campice here present. I promise that I will, with the gracious help of God, love, honor, and obey you in all things lawful, and live with you in the holy bonds of marriage according to God's ordinance. I promise to be your wife, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, and I promise never to forsake you from this day forward and until death do us part.
If I can have the rings. Sheldon, do you give this ring to Emma as a token of your constant faithfulness and abiding love? Emma, do you give this ring to Sheldon as a token of your constant faithfulness and abiding love? I do. Sheldon, you may kiss your bride, Emma. Hear now from the gospel how firm the bond of marriage is, as described in Matthew 19, 3 through 9. The Pharisees also came to Jesus, tempting him and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate.' They said to him, 'Why did Moses then command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?' He said to them, 'Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery.' Believe these words of Christ and be certain and assured that your Lord God has joined you together in this holy state. You are therefore to receive whatever befalls you therein with patience and thanksgiving as from the hand of God, and thus all things will turn to your advantage and salvation. Amen." Considering, however, that we have no good of ourselves and that all good gifts come from the Father of lights, the one who is above, you are asked to kneel before the face of the Lord so that we may pray with you and for you. What we're going to do at this time, congregation, is first sing. Now, our program says Psalter 134, but that should be Psalter 436. So please turn to 436, and we'll sing stanza 2. Stanza 2, the wedding party can be seated at this time. And after we have sung stanza 2, we will pray, and then I will ask you to stand for the singing of stanza 3. So 436, stanza 2 only, after which we will pray. You can turn and face me. Merciful God and Father, who has brought this couple together, Sheldon and Emma, and united them to the bond of marriage, we thank you for the blessing given to them, that they may go through life together under your care. Grant them this grace that through the love of Christ, they may more and more grow towards each other, bound together in the unity of the true faith. Grant them the strength of your Holy Spirit, enabling them as husband and wife to live together in their family according to your holy will. Grant them your favor that, should it please you to give them children, they may raise them in accord with the promises and demands of your covenant, in the instruction, discipline, and love of Christ. Sanctify the tie that binds them to their blessing, to the edifying of your church, as a witness to others, and to the glory of your holy name. Hear us, Father of all mercy, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, our Lord, in whose name we conclude our prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Congregation, please rise for stanza 3. Sheldon and Emma, before you rise, just this moment is so important to impress upon you what this posture represents, dependence on the Lord. Someone mentioned to me just the other day in the context of the realities of marriage, how important it is to pray together and to read God's word together. And inevitably, when couples struggle, oftentimes, if not every time, it's because something has broken down there that something breaks down elsewhere. Not every time, but many times. It's because the Lord is the glue that holds us together. And as we pray to him, we express our dependence upon him. Never forget that. Please rise. Hear yet the promise of God from Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. For you shall eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine by the sides of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion. And may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. The Lord our God fill you with his grace and grant you to live long together in all godliness and holiness. Amen. We may now present you with a wedding gift from the congregation, and maybe you can stand over that way a little bit, and Elder Kevin Slingerland will come forward and address you for a moment.
Sheldon, Nema, what a special day this is for you, your families, for your friends. We rejoice especially as we see your desire fulfilled to be married in the Lord in this Christian church. What a blessing that is. So much preparation has been made to get to this point for today, but also for the future, getting your home ready as well. And what a job that has been. And there are still things to do, more work to be done. And I know you guys are thankful to everyone who's helped you. Jesus sent a helper for us too. We've just passed the season of Pentecost, where we reflect as Christians on the Lord sending his Holy Spirit to us. And not just to us, even better, in us. In John 14, verse 23, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Notice the triune God, when we are in Christ, comes down and lives in us. He is also pleased to do that work in the hearts of those he lives in, making us ready for a wedding feast with Jesus that will outdo all earthly feasts here, as nice as some of them are. The Lord is pleased to use his word, and on behalf of the Vineland Consistory and as your friend, I give you your wedding Bible. And as you start your married life together and for all your days, we pray that you daily, diligently, and prayerfully read it, study it, and love his word. And we pray that he would grow you both as he makes his home in you. He who promises that is faithful. Congratulations.
Thank you, Kevin. We'll now have the signing of the paperwork, so I'd ask you to come with your two witnesses to the table here, and so we can take care of that. Thank you. We get to sing again, and let's stand to do so. The words from Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. So we'll stand and remain standing afterwards for the votum and salutation as we come to worship God. Please rise. As married couple, Sheldon and Emma, together with all of us, may now worship the Lord. And as we do so, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, and in Christ Jesus is an overflowing fountain of good. Amen. Receive the greeting of the Lord, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. And I invite you to turn in your Bibles, as you have them in your pews, to the book of Psalms and Psalm 136. Psalm 136. We'll read the entire psalm together, and our text will be verse 1. Although verse 1, the theme of it is repeated throughout the psalm, as you can see. So Psalm 136, this is God's word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever, a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever, who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever, who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. So far, the reading of God's word, and beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and especially dear Sheldon and Emma, today is obviously a very special day, and we rejoice with you as you become husband and wife. What a privilege to go through life together with a helper suitable for you, Sheldon with a wife and Emma with a husband. Indeed, in view of that, what reason to give thanks? But we should not stop with that. For as you know, this psalm that we have read points us to something more. It begins with a call to give thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. And then it explains why. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then, as we just read, that last line gets repeated throughout the psalm after every verse 26 times. For his mercy endures forever. Now, thinking about that just for a few moments, this word mercy, it's a very rich Hebrew word behind it, a word that maybe you've heard pronounced before, the word hesed, which is a word that has to do with God's faithful covenant, loving kindness, so overflowing even to undeserving sinners like us. It's a word that means to emphasize how gracious and kind and compassionate and merciful God is indeed. And for all who turn to him and trust in him, they find him to be merciful and gracious, not just for a time, but forever. Indeed, it is his mercy when we are brought to faith, and when we believe, his mercy will never forsake. He forever saves his people. So that is the hope and confidence of every believer. And now the point of this psalm, in view of this enduring mercy, we are called to give thanks to the Lord. And isn't that what every Christian learns? And isn't that also what every Christian couple learns or should learn? You having chosen this text for your wedding and asking for it to be preached, what that suggests about the two of you is that together you want to give thanks to the Lord. Together, as you live your life as husband and wife, you want to live a life of united thanksgiving and in view also of God's everlasting mercy. And so let that be your prayer even from now on. Lord, help us always to be thankful for your mercy. Let that be your prayer and something you often talk about and work at all your days. Together thankful to the Lord for his everlasting mercy. So for a few moments this afternoon, let's listen to this psalm, to this word of God under that theme, together thankful to the Lord for his everlasting mercy. And 3 points. First of all, how right to be. That is, how right to be thankful also and especially together. Yes, including in marriage and as married couple. How right to be thankful in view of God's everlasting mercy. Now that's a fairly straightforward thing to say. But when we study this psalm, what's very special about this psalm is the way it further unfolds and expands even and reflects on God's everlasting mercy. For example, it begins with reference to who God is as the God who saves. Give thanks to the Lord, that's a reference to Yahweh, who is described also as the God of gods, verse 2, and verse 3, as the Lord of lords. Verse 26, as the God of heaven, so the one true and living God who is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, what a word That word good, it's a summary word. It's a word that has to do with how kind God is, how loving God is, how compassionate God is, how generous and abounding in blessings God is. He's never cruel. He's not evil. He's not a miser. He's not harsh. He's good. And he's an overflowing fountain of goodness. And that goodness finds its fullest expression in so many ways in his mercy. And so that's the way it starts. The God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who is good, and that goodness we know, especially through his mercy. That's how it starts. But then, notice how the rest of the psalm further describes that, especially in terms of the great works God has done and is doing still. So, for example, verse 4 refers to his great wonders. And then verse 5 through 9 highlight especially the wonder of creation, God's work of creation. Just that is already a revelation of his enduring mercy. But going on, the psalm then speaks about the work of redemption and really in a certain way concentrates on the work of redemption. And so what's highlighted is the way God worked to redeem Israel out of Egypt, how he brought them out of the house of bondage in the days when Egypt was enslaving and oppressing and stifling the very life and soul out of the people of God. God came to the rescue. And you remember that history as it's recorded for us in the Word of God, how he struck Egypt in their firstborn, how he brought out Israel by a strong hand and by an outstretched arm. And then he divided the Red Sea, miraculously enabling his people to escape the Egyptians who were breathing down their necks in order to bring them back to Egypt. Eventually, he brought them to Canaan, even as he had promised, and he gave them that land as their heritage. And it was redemption. It was Old Testament redemption. And who can hear it and not think, obviously, of the greater fulfillment of that? The greater fulfillment as revealed in the New Testament, the redemption not now from Egypt, but from sin, from death, from Satan, from hell. You know, that first redemption from Egypt is part of the history of redemption. It's also a type or a picture of the ultimate redemption. The redemption that's fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The redemption that occurs when God sends his Son into this world. And who for? Well, sinners, like you and me, who are by nature enslaved, oppressed, under dominion, self-chosen, even by our willful rebellion in Adam, and destined for hell. That is a bondage we can never escape. That is a bondage that will destroy every sinner forever. But God comes in Christ to deliver sinners through Christ's death and resurrection. And so when we believe in him, we may be redeemed and delivered, and through the power of the Holy Spirit be set free and be no longer enslaved to sin and death and hell, but slaves of God and of righteousness and destined for eternal life in the new creation. And already in this life, we may begin to experience that redemption. God works that by his word and through his spirit. And if you're not yet redeemed, if you're someone who's still on the outside or someone still in the darkness or someone still in chains, then God is even now today calling you to come to him and to be free, to turn to his Redeemer Son and trust in him, for that is the way to experience redemption. And when that's us, you know our life will change. It always must, because the Redeemer goes to work in the lives of his people. We can't live like we used to live. We must live in service to our Savior God and King. Our lives begin to change, and we may look forward to the fullness of redemption in the world and life to come. And all of it is powered by and a revelation of and entirely due to the mercy, the everlasting mercy of the Lord. And in view of it, and when we experience it, how right to be thankful. How right to be together thankful. Also because notice what else the Lord is about. Verse 23 refers to him remembering us in our lowly state. And verse 24, rescuing us from our enemies. Now, that could be a reference to what's described earlier with redemption, or it could be referring to a new situation, a new threat, a new danger. Because how often that can be in the lives of God's people. On the one hand, we are safe in Jesus, and yet we must live this world in this world. And how many trials and how many troubles come, and what threats and dangers we can experience until our dying breath, that's true. And how many times we don't know we need the Lord's deliverance. And it seems the psalmist here is referring then to a new deliverance. How the Lord has come through again. He redeemed in the past. He's rescued again. And how often we need that. Because how often we experience trouble. And every time the Lord comes through for us, every time the Lord delivers us yet again, every time the Lord helps us in our time of need, right then and there is reason to thank Him and see His mercy, His everlasting mercy at work. Also because in verse 25, He gives food to all flesh. And so each creature's need He doth supply. On the one hand, a reference to His providential care for all of His creation, but also and especially for His people. The Lord provides for us. All the provisions we have, all the gifts we enjoy come from His hand. And to be aware of that and to be so thankful for them. Yes, truly, God's mercy endures forever. Remember, that's a summary of all that's being said, His everlasting mercy, His grace, kindness, and faithfulness shown to His people. And so together thankful to the Lord for His everlasting mercy, how right to be. That's the first point. Let that conviction be clear. It's right for us to give thanks to the Lord. But that's not all. Going now to our second point, how intent to be. How intent, or how focused, or purposeful we might say. Why is this a point? Well, it's because of several details in the psalm. For example, just notice again the way the psalm opens with a call to thank the Lord, and then the God of gods, and then the Lord of lords. And we can't miss the focus of that. As if the psalmist is saying, listen, let's really understand who's in view. Let's pay attention to the true and living God. Let's think of Him and let's thank Him. Him. This is not just a general call to thankfulness. This is a very specific, a particular call to thank our Creator and Savior God. Yes, verse 26 again, the God of heaven. Look up. Look up, the psalmist is saying. See the one from whom all blessings flow. So, how intent to be focused on Him. But notice too how the psalm so patiently and particularly highlights God's works and ways. This is line by line through the psalm. It's not like, hurry up and say thanks so we can get out of here. It's, let's meditate our way through all that God is and has done and be in awe and be so thankful for what we may learn. Like He is our Creator and He is our Redeemer. And we can highlight details like sun and moon and Pharaoh and Sihon and Og and land of Canaan and daily food. He's the God who feeds His people. Well, let's think through all these things and reflect and worship our way through them. The psalmist is so into this. His mind is working. His heart is engaged. His soul is aflame, as it were. He's intent. And then, of course, most of all, think of the way the psalm repeats the refrain altogether 26 times, so that after every line of the psalm, we hear these words, for His mercy endures forever. You know, some have wondered, was this psalm written like this for liturgical use? Meaning that when it was read, maybe in worship, did the priest read the first line and the people echo every time, His mercy endures forever? Kind of a reading like that, a responsive reading. Maybe that was the point. But however it was read, no one can miss the emphasis, because like a steady drumbeat throughout the psalm, this phrase is repeated as an expression of the heart and to drive home the point, as if to say, listen, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it so wonderful? Isn't the Lord beyond wonderful? His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Hear it, believe it, embrace it, rejoice in it. You see, intent. How intent on Thanksgiving? This is not just something, oh, we'll get to someday, maybe, you know, if we have time. There is intentionality here. And isn't this how it should be and how it will be? Whenever we begin to understand something of what all of this is about. Because how can we ever be dull-hearted or even completely indifferent to truths and realities so rich and special and amazing? Especially as summarized in that repeated line. I mean, if we simply go with that, the mercy of the Lord enduring forever, you know, that means that when you belong to the Lord, when He has opened your eyes and brought you to Himself, so that you believe in Him and belong to Him, when He's done that with you, so that now you say you love the Lord and you want to serve Him by grace and through His Holy Spirit, it's like the triune God has wrapped His mighty arms around you. He's caught you. He's rescued you from falling into the pit of hell. And He's got you now so securely, He will never let you go. And He will lead you all through life. And when you marry in the Lord like this and you look to Him like this, He will never let you together go. He will bring you safely through your life and then by His grace into everlasting life. All of this is on account of His everlasting mercy. And the point again is, how is it possible to believe this, to embrace this, and not to give thanks so intently and so purposefully? All give thanks to the Lord. And the redeemed soul says, yes, I will, with all my heart. Now maybe someone says, what does that look like? What does it look like to give thanks to the Lord so intently? What does it look like when a couple does that? Well, won't it show up, for example, in the way you prioritize the Word of God in your life? We already heard something of that in the presentation of the Bible. And also praying together and worshiping the Lord with His people together. And together serving the Lord and together reminding each other often of the everlasting mercy of the Lord and encouraging each other and challenging each other to rejoice in His everlasting mercy, including when you go through hard times. Because married people too go through hard times. Marriage doesn't give you a pass on hard times. Including too when you stumble and struggle, also when you may sin, because that also happens. Getting married doesn't perfect you. As every husband and wife discover, sin goes with you into your marriage. Your spouse takes it into your marriage. You take it into your marriage. And that's why sometimes it can be hard. But in those times, remember the everlasting mercy of the Lord. Fall back on the everlasting mercy. Plead the everlasting mercy of the Lord. You can always go back to Him. You can always be restored by Him and to Him. His mercy is everlasting. And so together, thankful to the Lord, how right to be, how intent to be, and finally, how blessed to be. Which is to say, when you are together thankful, when that's clear in your heart and in your life, that becomes the basis for so many blessings. Now, even in the secular world, this is acknowledged. There have been all kinds of studies that have been done that show that thankful people, truly thankful people, generally are happier and healthier, and more successful, and live longer. A thankful spirit has a way of transforming all of life. So we know that. But all the more when that thankfulness is rightly understood and rightly directed, namely to the Lord for His everlasting mercy. And when that's your life and your life together, how many blessings follow? For example, think of the joy and peace and contentment that we may experience when we are consistently thankful to the Lord for His mercy. Because when you live in that way, with that thankfulness, you don't have time or energy anymore to be envious or jealous or discontented or covetous. No, when you are truly and consistently thankful, when that's your overall perspective, you're not busy comparing yourselves to others. You just don't get stuck there. No, the sheer wonder of God's everlasting mercy consumes your vision, your heart. It just overwhelms you and delights you and satisfies you. That's one of the blessings when you live together thankful. Or think about this. Think of the blessing a thankful couple knows in terms of their overall focus and purpose in life. Seeing how they owe everything to God's mercy, even His everlasting mercy, makes, when you see that, it makes you want to give yourself to God and to His service and glory. That's the focus and purpose of your life now, living for God and His praise. If you're not thankful, if you have no care to be thankful to the Lord for His mercy, well, then what do you have to live for? What gets you up in the morning? What helps you go through the day? How many unthankful people all around us in this world, how many are simply aimless? And they lack motivation. And they have no direction. And they're just wandering their way through life from one empty thrill to the next. Yes, empty thrill. How unsatisfying, unfulfilling. Just, they don't see where blessings come from, and they don't know how to give thanks and praise for those blessings. But when we are thankful truly for God and His mercy, then we live for God. We even get married for God. Remember the book that we read together, Married for God. Because in and with marriage and through our marriage, we now serve God together. And the motivation for that is in large part thankfulness for His enduring mercy. And then one more blessing to mention before we're finished. If we think of together thankful to the Lord for His mercy, living like that, how attractive that becomes to those around us. Because that spirit is so contrary to what is so common in this world. And then what a draw that becomes, and even what a means it might be to win people to the Lord and to His way. I mean, who likes to be around a negative, complaining person? Or a negative, complaining couple? No one's impressed with someone or with people who are always ungrateful, self-centered. Of course not. In fact, unthankfulness is one of the common sins of all people by nature. But how much more we appreciate the opposite. And we do this whether we realize it or not. We are drawn to people who are thankful, who are contented, who are rejoicing in God's goodness, whatever that may be in their life. And when you, therefore, can also reflect that in your lives, then others will see that. And they will want to be part of your circle. They will want to come into your home. And they will want to be in your company. And so, dear Sheldon and Emma, this is a word for all of us, but this is a word especially today for you. Let the mercy that you say you have received compel you time after time and more to make you together so thankful. How right to be, how intent to be, and how blessed to be. And maybe have it even as your daily prayer, as a newly married couple, to include in your prayer this line, thank you, Lord, for your everlasting mercy. And maybe not just your daily prayer, but every anniversary, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, every year, read this psalm and ponder it, and especially the impact of line by line proclaiming that His mercy endures forever. And all your life, seek to keep that mercy in view and that God of mercy in view, even as it is so undeserved and at the same time so rich and so abundant and so overwhelming. And so also together be thankful and together give thanks to the Lord in this life all your days and someday in the presence of God Himself at the everlasting wedding. Yes, forever praising God's everlasting mercy. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, our God, we come before You. Just at the close of this service and having heard a short message on a well-known theme, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. Grant, Lord, that this text also chosen by Sheldon and Emma may be a text to which they often return, and a text that they more and more live out. Make them together thankful for Your everlasting mercy. How right to be, and so intent on it, and knowing also all the blessings that follow. And we pray, Lord, for all of us, Remember us in our lowly state. Thank you for Jesus, who is the revelation of that remembering, of that mercy, of that goodness and grace. He died for sinners, unthankful, ungrateful people as we are by nature. We pray that we may look to him. We pray that we may be covered by his blood. We pray that being filled by his Spirit, a song of thanksgiving and praise may begin to well up in our hearts and lives, may mark our homes and families, may focus and direct all our days until by your mercy we may come before you to join that great throng proclaiming the worthiness of your everlasting mercy. Oh God, so bless your word. Be with us as we go from here, full of joy and thanksgiving also for all the blessings of today. Bless Sheldon and Emma with their families and friends as they rejoice together, and keep them and keep us all in your care for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll now sing from our Psalters number 378. It's from Psalm 136. We'll sing stanza 1 and 3. 1 and 3. And then after the benediction, we'll sing Psalter 413, both stanzas. And let's rise to sing. So please stand. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Hallelujah.
can have you come forward, Sheldon and Emma. And while they're just getting situated, just a few announcements. One, there will be a reception line just outside the doors and opportunity to congratulate the newly married couple and their parents. And there will also be refreshments outside for our enjoyment. And with those who are going to the reception, I've been asked to mention that seniors are invited to park in the Beakey driveway, and the rest of you are to park at 471 Foss Road, Bryan Farms. There will be signs, so just so you know. All right, it's my privilege now to present to you for the first time Mr. and Mrs. Sheldon and Emma Campice.